Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Maseches Bechoreis Daf Mem Gimel. We begin a brand new perek, which will focus on Kohanim, serving the Beis HaMikdash, and what disqualifies them from Avodah. Says the Mishnah, Mumin Eilu. The previously discussed list of blemishes that apply to a Bechor and disqualify the Bechor from being offered as a carbon apply equally to the Kohen. So those blemishes, if found on a Kohen, will disallow him from serving the Beis HaMikdash. Mumin Eilu Bein Kvuin, whether they're there to stay, permanent nature, Bein Oivrim, whether they're just passing, of a temporary nature, all those situations, Poislim Ba'adam, if found on the Kohen, would disqualify him from serving the Beis HaMikdash. But it doesn't end there. There are more conditions that apply to a person and disqualify him. And that's based on the Pasuk, which we will bring later on at the bottom of the Yamin, actually. It says, Kol ish asher boimum mizera aharon. And we learn, ish sheshave bezara shalare. The Kohen has to match, has to be similar to his brethren without any, you know, unusual, outstanding features, which sets him apart in a negative way. Although these aren't actual, you know, blatant blemishes, but these variances set him apart, and he's no longer matching to his brethren, in which case it disqualifies him from karba. Yoyser lein ba'adam. By the other, we have additional examples of disqualifying defects. And these will be explained in the Gemara. We have one called Hakiloin, Va'alafton, Va'amakfon, V'sheroish Shokut, Uskifas, on which Rashi says, we'll have to wait for the Gemara, Mefarish B'Gemara. Uvaloi, Chatoris, or Chatoitrois, suppose he has a hump on his back. Rabbi the Machshir, that's okay, it passes. V'chachamim, Poislin, they disqualify. Hakareach, he's fully bald, Pasul, it's also possible. How do you define the extent of the baldness which disqualifies? Kol she'en lo shita shel seyar. He doesn't even have one complete row of hair. Ma keves me'ozen lo'ozen, extending from one ear to the other. But if he does, it passes. Im yesh lo'y ha'reze akash. Ask the Gemara. Am I? Why is that? So, that all the movement that applied to the Behema applied to the other. Va'ika yabelas. For example, we have yabelas, this growth. Deloksiv by Raisa Ba'adam. We don't find it in the Pasuk. Within the list of mumin on the Adam. Rather, only by the Behema. How do we know that it applies to the Adam too? Vesu. Another question, the other way around. We have a condition called dak. Tevalo. You know, in the eye. Deloksiv by Behema. It's only mentioned among the mumin of the Kayin. It's not mentioned by the Behema. So how do we know to import it to the Behema as well? Well, Melaf Yalfi Ma'adadi. The answer is, we learn one from the other. We compare lists. Whatever applies to the Adam, applies to the Behema, and vice versa. The Sanya, as we learn in the following price. Ba'adam Eleinimar by Yabelas. True, Yabelas is not mentioned amongst the Mumim of the Kohen. And vice versa, Behema, Eleinimar Dak V'Tvalu. We don't find the dak tevalo defects mentioned by the Behema. So how do we know to mix and match? Menayin, how do we know litin as amar shel zeh bazeh? To apply those of, you know, one by the other, v'sa amar shel zeh bazeh, to apply the ones by the other, by the first. Basically, how do we know to mix and match the lists? Tamalei mar, we have a pasuk. Korav, it says it once by the Adam. It says korav by the Behema. It says yalevas by the Adam. And it says Yalefas by the Behema. And that allows us to make a link, L'gzeiros Shava, to connect the Adam list with the Behema list and to compare notes. Now, Mafni, it must be that these words are deliberately extra and available to generate the Gzeiros Shava. We know that Gzeiros Shava can be challenged if you find, you know, discerning differences between the two elements in the equation. But if it's a Gzeiros Shava Mufne, or Mafni, then it's extra words. Extra words. Rashi learns, explains some way that it's as though the halacha was actually stated locally. That's what the extra word is indicating. So when we import halacha through this type of available, open gzeira shava, you can't challenge it, no matter what. Even if you find distinguishing, you know, factors between the two elements of the equation. So we must say that in fact this gzeira shava, comparing Adam to Behemah and vice versa, is a gzeira shava mufna. Otherwise, you can run into all kinds of challenges. Dilei mafna, because otherwise, ikal mifra, you can challenge this linkage between Adam and Behemah. You're trying to learn A from B and B from A? Well, not so simple. Adam, Behemah layalav. You can't really learn the guidelines of the Adam from the guidelines of Behemah. Perhaps the Behemah, in a way, has higher standards. The bar is higher. Shekein he kriatzmo krev al gam mizbeach. In contrast to the Kohen, who's merely serving and working in the Mikdash, the Behemah is the actual subject matter that's going to be offered on the Mizbeach. Perhaps the bar is higher. And likewise, Behemah mi'adam le'alfa, you can't learn the guidelines of animal blemishes from the guidelines of the Kohen blemishes. Shekinah shava b'mitzvos. A person, a Kohen, has a greater scope of responsibilities and obligations and privileges and all kinds of mitzvahs. So perhaps his standards are different. Yeah, la'ai, correct, 100%. Afnu yamafni, we're speaking about extra words, which generate this irrefutable gzeira shava. Where are the extra words? Why even bother referring to Gorov? Just state Yalefis, which is sort of like a wart, a sort of a flab of my skin. Without mentioning Gorov, I'll figure it out on my own. Or my Yalefis, let me isa. Yalefis, which isn't repulsive, it's just a flab of, you know, Havi Mum, it's still a Mum. Gorov, the Mois Gorov, which is a, you know, a dried pimple which creates a crevice, and it's most, it's repulsive. Lekoshkin, certainly, it's a mum. So why did the pasuk even mention Gorov? By the Behemah, and Gorov by the Adam. Gorov, the Kasr Rachman Olam, what's the point of Gorov Lafnuye? To make it available for Gzeira Shava? To allow us to connect Behemah to Adam and vice versa, and to import the list in both directions. Says the Gemara, okay, granted, we're going to learn one from the other. So why doesn't the pasuk just print out one single list of women by one or the other and transfer it to the other? Why do we have a list on this side, a list on that side, then we have to compare notes or compare some individual examples of defects? Just print out one by the other and learn everything to the Behemah. Why doesn't the Torah just print out one list of mumen by one of these two? And v'goravi alefes achavahacha, of course, has to state goravi alefes on both sides to make that available to Rishavim. And then we could just import back and forth. V'lufum adadim, we can learn one from the other, says the Gemara. Ahai. Lichtayv, ahai. Which one would you suggest should have the list? Because Rachman of Adam, if it's by the Adam, I mean, I would say, yeah, call the apostle Adam, apostle Behemah. True. All the defects that relate to the Adam relate to the Behemah as well. But let's say you'll find me a situation which is not applicable to Adam. Joined hooves. Call it, right? The chutin, damaged, you know, gums. And Rashi learns that the gums we're speaking are above the upper gums without the teeth. So you see the gums. That's what Rashi learns here. The psul on the chutim we spoke about last perek. Rashi learns it's the area that doesn't have. It's the upper gums. In any case, the lesson bottom, these aren't applicable by the Adam because Kalat doesn't have a hoof to be right. And Rashi says Chutin is not an issue by the Adam because he has teeth, upper teeth and lower teeth, which sort of cover the gums. So damaged gums aren't really considered a mum. The lesson bottom not applicable by the Adam. Okay, so it doesn't apply there. It's not going to apply by the Behemah either, which learns from the Adam. Behemah nami lifsul. So you really can't learn everything from the Adam. Because again, you're going to come up short. Says the Gemara, okay, so what about because Rachmana Kulub Behema? Suppose the Torah would just state the whole list by the behemoth and compel us to learn the other from behemoth. Same issue. Have a mean out thing called apostle behemoth, apostle ba'adam. Issues that pertain to behemoth pertain to Adam. But let's say you have conditions that are unique to a human, like gibein, missing his eyebrow, v'charum, has a recessed nose. The lesson behemoth, these aren't applicable to behemoth. But Adam nominally lives slow. Perhaps it wouldn't disqualify an Adam either if we're going to be learning everything from behemoth. So that compels the Torah to present two separate lists to cover conditions which are unique to the Adam and unique to the behemoth. Okay, says the Gemara, I understand. But still, why do we need all those additional duplications? Here's a suggestion. Present the entire list by one of the other, let's say, behemoth. And the ones that don't apply to the Adam, the Torah should spell it out by the behemoth, and vice versa. Or behemoth, there's a gerusa. Those that don't apply to behemoth, those that are unique to the Adam, the Torah should spell it out by the Adam. This way, there's no omissions at all, right? And then we have those extra words on both sides of the equation. And the rest of the conditions can be just being learned one from the other. So granted, conditions which are unique to Adam have to be spelled out by the Adam. Unique to Behemoth, spelled out by the Behemoth. But the rest, which are merely shared, that apply on both sides, say it once and then import it. Elo, you're right. Technically you're right, but we have an interesting formula presented by Tanvei Rishmol that at times when the Torah is already compelled to repeat something on account of details that have to be highlighted, so sometimes it just repeats the entire discussion as a single unit. Likewise over here, since the Torah is compelled to go into a detailed list on both sides, but there are some that are exclusive to this and some that are unique to that. So just presented the whole package as one. Elo, ketana, tevei Rabbi Shmuel. Etana, tevei Rabbi Shmuel. Kol parsha shenemar v'nishnis. Sometimes you find a parsha which was said once and then repeated again. For what? V'nishnis. Elo, b'shvodo v'shenemar v'chadash. Well, the purpose was to incorporate new elements which hadn't been discussed earlier. Continues the Gemara Amar Rava with another perspective on this question. Why does the Torah state three times that a mum is a disqualifying element by the bechor, by other karbanos, and by the kohen? Amar Rava Lomli because Rachmana mum be Adam, once by the kohen, mum be kach, and once by other karbanos, and mum be bechor. Tzricha, all three are needed. Because Rachmana mum be Adam, the Torah would only state that a person is unfit due to a mum. Yeah, Ashkenaz Rav of Mitzvahs, since he has, a broad range of obligations and mitzvahs. So yeah, a mum disqualifies him, but a behemoth, who says that's affected by a mum? Now, Adam mibchur behemoth la'asi. What about just writing it by the bechor and learning Adam from the bechor? La'asi, that can't be learned from the behemoth. Shkenu atzim karugam is beach, but as we said earlier, the behemoth has an advantage. It in itself is the subject matter of the karugam. So perhaps it runs different rules. Kachim mibchur la'asi. Likewise, you can't learn other karbanos from bechor. Shekein kedusha simin rechem. Yeah, bechor is affected by a mum, has a higher level of kedusha. It's naturally kaddish. It's born kaddish, as opposed to other karbanos, whose kedusha arrives later on, when designated by the owner. Likewise, adam mikachim liyasi. If it only states mum by karbanos, I can't learn the kayin from there. Shekein hin atzman craven. Once again, because the karban behema in itself is subject matter of karban, has different standards. What about Bechor Mikachim? Can I learn Bechor from other Karbanos? No, you can't. Shekein Kedushasa Miruva. Rashi says the Kedusha of the ordinary Karbanos covers a greater scope You have all types of variations, chatas and asham and oila, right? And therefore, you can't really learn b'char from other karbonis. Okay, you're right. Chadu mechad le'asya. We attempted to learn one from one. It's not going to work. But maybe teisa chadu mitarti. Why all three? Leave one out and just learn one from the other two by way of sort of a common denominator equation. Okay, let's go through the options. Mehay teisi. Which one are you going to learn from? Which two? Le'ilu rechmona b'char. Leave out the imum by the b'char and learn from the other two, from the adam and the karbon. No, they have an advantage. The kedusha is more widespread, all-encompassing. There are many types of karbonis versus bechor, which is a single type. The kohen as well, as she says on the bottom line, adam kedushas meruba mitzvahs, lots of mitzvahs. Also, when v'nehagim b'pshutin, in contrast to bechor, which is limited to the firstborn. The kedusha of the kohen is not limited to firstborn, and likewise the kedusha of other karbonis. Okay, le'ilchta b'kach. Let's omit mum by karbonis. V'teisi mahanach and perhaps learn from adam and bechor. No, malahanach kedusha son me'aleim. There's something unique about a kohen whose kedusha is natural. Me'aleim, likewise a bechor, it's a natural kedusha as opposed to other karbonis which are generated by the owner. Finally, lo'ichta ba'adam, perhaps leave out the mum by the adam. They say, manach learn from the b'char and the kachim. No, alahanach shkein inatzm kriving on mizbeach. Karbonis, b'char have an advantage over the adam because they are subject matter of karbon, as opposed to the kohen who's merely serving. So basically, all the attempts failed. We can't learn one from the other, not one from one, not one from two. Tzrichi, and that compels the Torah to spell it out separately by the adam, by the b'char and the other karbonis. Now back to the Mishnah, which told us that in addition to the standard, you know, blemishes that disqualify a bechor, there are additional conditions, imperfections, which will disable the kohen from doing the avodah as long as he has those conditions present. Yosher lein ba'adam. How do we know that there's an additional tier of imperfections by a kohen that don't apply to a carbon? Omar b'yechna the makro, look at the pasuk, which introduces the concept of blemishes by the kohen, and starts off by saying, kol ish asher b'mum, mizera arin, a kohen which has a mum. And we learn from the wording of the pasuk that the starting point is, ish sheshava b'zara shel arin. We're speaking about a kohen whose features resemble the rest, who matches the rest of his brethren. In this case, if he has a serious blemish, he's disqualified. But let's say he doesn't even get to first base. He's not Shove Bizar Shalari. That even without a serious blemish, he's disqualified. We turn down his face. Ma'ika Bey Muma Lusheina Shove Bizar Shalari. So you have two levels of disqualifying blemishes. A blatant blemish, a real mum, and some sort of feature that stands out, which makes them dissimilar to the rest. Is there any difference between these two kohanim in terms of repercussion? Says the Gemara, Ika beinayu mishum achulei avoida. Difference is whether they disqualify the avoida that they did. Let's say he went and did the avoida in his blemished state. So it depends what level of blemish we're talking. If it's a real muma, a serious blatant blemish, machal avoida, that disqualifies the avoida, renders it pasul. Tachsiv, as the pasuk says, Mumbai, the kohen has a real mum, b'loy chalo, be careful, don't do chilo. But if it's merely the second level, that it's just she'en shavei bazar shel aron, it's not a true blemish, it's just an imperfection, which makes him stand out and dissimilar to the rest, that's not as severe as a real mum. Lo machal avoida, if he did the avoida, it doesn't disqualify the avoida. But he violated the mitzvah asay, because the Torah tells us only if you're a shava, then you're qualified. Otherwise, not. So you violated an asay. But the avoda still stands. Now, there's actually a third tier, a third level, of a disqualifying element called marasayin. Appearance issues. His appearance is not fitting for avodah. So his eyelashes are completely gone, etc. As we're going to see in the upcoming sugya. That's even a lower level. So we have a proper mum, we have Einar Shava Bazar Shalar, and we have just something called Maris Ayin, which is only Asim Durabonon. So what's the difference between level 2 and level 3? Ma Yikabin She'ena Shava Bazar Shalarin, between level 2, dissimilar to the rest of the Kayanim, Usha Maris Ayin, level 3, which is just an appearance issue. Any difference? Yikabin Ayu Asay. If it's Einar Shava Bazar Shalarin, he's violated Asay if he does the Avoida in that state, but if it's just Maris Ayin with Rabbanon, he hasn't really violated Issa de Raisa, although he shouldn't be doing it with Rabbanon. Okay, so we have three levels. Mum, Einar Shava, and Maris Ayin. Okay, now we go back to the conditions mentioned in the Mishnah, which pertain to level 2, features which render him dissimilar to the rest of the Kehanim. One is a Kiloin, which is the Dami Reishi La'achla. His head is misshaped, appears like a lid of a barrel, as she says, which is sort of peaks like a teepee, wide on bottom, narrow on top, something unusual. What is the lafta condition? The Dami Reishi La'gad Galida the lifta. His head appears like a turnip head, which is again coned, but this time it's pointy on bottom and wide on top. Tana, the Braisa adds another condition to the list, if it's a neck situated smack in the middle of his head. Typically the head protrudes more in the front than the back. In this case, the head is situated directly centered on the neck, which is unusual. What is a makavan mentioned in the Mishnah? The Dami Reishi L'makava. His head appears like an axe, round on the back, pointing in the front, misshaped. Vishereishi Shakut, another example, Vilafanov. That the front sort of angles down in a very distinct way. Uskifas, what's that? Machirav. It appears like there's something missing in the back of his head, like missing a piece. Amr Inshi, as people relate to this condition, and they say shakal pisoi, it looks like a piece was missing, a glob. So sekifas is short for shakal pisoi. Tana, the Braisa adds another couple examples. Vitzavare shakot v'shamot. What does that mean? Shakot the chavi mechva, his neck is sort of hiding in his head. His head is perched really low, and his neck looks like it's hiding. Shamot means arach v'shamot, which is the opposite. The neck is really long and thin, and his face is sort of like hanging over. Doesn't look very balanced. Ubalichat Torahs. Mishnah continues with the humpback. Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. Chacham say pasul. Explains the Gemara. What's the nature of this hump? This be etzim, if it's covering a bone, so it's a significant hump. Kulam lepligi the pasul. All agree that this qualifies. Okay, pligi less be etzim. The question is just skin or flesh without any bone. Mar savar. Chacham say, look, it's ainu shava. It's something unique and different, which disqualifies it. Mar savar, karkura de brisa ba'amur. But he says, it's just a flap of skin. It's not significant enough to make him ainu shava bizar shalarim. Hakareach pas. Baldness also disqualifies. Amarav aleshanu. When does the Mishnah disqualify him? Elo she'ein loy la'achra. That's only when, you see, naturally the hair recedes from the front to the back. So it's more likely to have something left in the back than the front. So in this case, if he has nothing left in the back and just in the front, that's why it's possible, something really unusual. But let's say, he has a bit in the back and in the front. So even though there's nothing in the middle of his head, gosh, that's okay. So he has a full row in the back and also the front, that's and certainly if it's only in the back and nothing in the front, that's certainly okay. Because as Rashi, in Rashi's words, he says, it's more of an acceptable appearance when there is some hair in the back without the front. Okay, so according to this version of Rava, if he has a bit in the back and the front, that's okay. V'yikud amasne ha-seifa. But some had a different version of Rabbah, which pertains to the next line of the Mishnah, where we conclude, V'miyesh la-hair is a kasha. If he has something, a complete row of hair, it's okay. Amar Rabbah le-shon, that's only true. El-shi-eshne la-achrav. V'enu la-fanav. If it's located in the back and there's nothing in the front, only then is it okay. But if he has it in the front and the back, and the middle is bald, that's possible. Aval yesh le bein l'achrav, bein l'fanav, possible. Because now it's not pleasant looking. V'kol shkein, sheyesh l'fanav bein l'achrav. Certainly if he only has in the front and on the back, v'dein l'seir klala, certainly has nothing. Of course, in these two cases, they're possible. Amr Abich. Hakar Chon. Bald Kehana. Bananosin. Dwarfs. Vazav Lagonin. Those whose eyes are tearing in a serious manner. Psulin. Their apostle. Why? Because of level 2. Vish Einan Shabbat Bizar Shalari. We all know this already. Karchanin, bald, Tanina, we already discussed this in the Mishnah. Nanosin as well, Tanina, we discussed it later on. Zavlagan is Shrikhli Lashmina. Rebbechon had to teach us about the third case, which was not mentioned in the Mishnah. Additionally, regarding the first two, the Karchanin and the Nanosin, he had to come tell us the extent of the defect. Umaudatim Mishmarasa Ain, perhaps. Those two will only be considered Marasa'ayin issues, level 3. In which case, it's only a Drabbono, there's no Mitzvah Sasei that's being over. Hence, Rabbi Yechon comes and tells us, no, these belong on level 2, Einoi Shaveh Bezar Shalar. Now, why would we even think that it's level 3? Marasa'ayin, those are discussed openly in the Mishnah. Isn't Katani? Any condition which relates to level 3, Maris Ayin, is discussed openly as such. As we're going to see later in the Mishnah, Shanashurusa Einav is missing his eyelashes. That's only possible, Maris Ayin. So in the previous Mishnah where it mentioned bald, it did not refer to Maris Ayin. Apparently, it's not because of Maris Ayin, it's because of level 2. Einushav Zar Shalayin. Was that Rabbi Yechon teaching us that? It's obvious. No, Maudatem Matani Chadu within the Kula. Perhaps there's room to think that the conclusion of the Mishnah later that Nashru Risei Einav is related to Maris Ayin, that reference to Maris Ayin goes back to all the previous cases. So basically, starting from Kereach Pasul in the first Mishnah all the way to the end of the next Mishnah is Maris Ayin, as opposed to the items before that, which was because of level 2. But starting from Kereach, starts a new list of level 3. That's what I would think. Torah B'Yechon comes and teaches otherwise. No, these occupy level 2. So that's the Gemara. Why would I even think so? Wherever we find in the Mishnah an example of Maris Ayin, wherever the Mishnah comes back to give us another example, Maris Ayin, it labels it as such. Like it says later, Shinov is missing his teeth. That's again level 3, possible Maris Ayin. So each one is labeled. Why would I think? Why would I confuse things? Ella, you're right. What's Rabbi Yechon's point? La Fukim Adetanya. He's teaching us that in fact Karchanin, Nanosin, etc., apostle, on account of level 2, as opposed to Rabbi Yudu says, it's only level 3. Lavukimah desanya desanya, hakarchanin, vananosin, vazlavagonin, ksherim, minatera derkasha, v'yamru apostle, only reason why we say, it's apostle, elma shemaru sa'ayin. So Rabbi Yechon comes to undo that and say, look, we don't pass in like the Braisa. Rather, it's level 2 because Eino Yishava Bizar Shalar. Manai Tana. Now, this Braisa, which allows a bald Kayan to do Avodah Minat Torah, Rabbi Yehuda, who's that? That's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. It's not Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We have a pasuk by the Avoda. V'orcho bin Aaron ha-Kehanim. So the extra ha-Kehanim is coming to tell you, l'rabbis ha-Karchon, even bald, ha-Kashem and ha-Tayra. It's only an issue of appearance with the Rabbanim and Mishamar Asai. Continues the Mishnah. Ein lo gvinin. So we have a pasuk which speaks about a gibein, one of the blemishes. And it means like this. Ein lo gvinin. He's missing his eyebrows. Or he only has one on one eye. Ein lo gavin echa. And the other one doesn't have any. Zehu gibein amar Torah. That's exactly the gibein and the Torah. Gibein and gvinin, right? The same thing. Rav Deisa Omer. Shegvinin sheichman. The Torah refers to a fellow who has such long eyebrows that just rest over his eyes. Rabbi Chanin Matignus Omer says, no, Gibein, that's a whole different condition. Sheish le shnei gaben, ushtei shedroi. Talking about a kohen who has a very crooked back, almost like folded. It looks like he has two backs and two spines. Ask the Gemara, v'gibein eilu mashma. So it seems in the Mishnah that the word gibein in the Torah means he's missing. He's missing both eyebrows, one eyebrow. So it's denoting lack. V'raminu v'abakashim v'braisa. That given means sheish l'gvinin harve. He has extra long eyebrows. Sorry, he has harve means that it's extra big, meaning it extends. It connects, both eyebrows extend. So according to the braisa, the simple meaning of gibein means not lacking, but over, you know, too much. And the Brisa continues. But let's say it's missing. Ein lo gvinin, he has no gvinin at all. Or he only has one. Or she ein lo gvinin echad, over one eye. Menayin, how do we know that's a problem? Tam lemme, oy gvinin. That's from the eye. So according to the Brisa, gvinin means too big. And the word oy covers the missing. Unlike the Mishnah, which seems to learn from gvinin regarding missing. Amar Rava, it's all one and the same thing. Zeh midrash shel gvinin. When the Mishnah says that lack is learned from gibein, Mishnah just meant we learn it from oy gibein, from the extra oy. So again, gibein means extra big. Oy gibein means missing. Rabbi Deisa Omer, we're speaking about a double back. How could a person survive like that? Maybe the chai person could survive with a double back. We learned in the Beis HaMedrash, Hamapelas Bria, a woman who gives birth or miscarries this creature, sheish lo shnei gavin, ushtei shedrois. She has double back, double spines. Does she have to treat it like a birth? Amarav b'isha einei vlad. It's not considered an offspring. It's not viable. She doesn't have to observe the days of tumah. But behem asar b'achila. If an animal gave birth to this, you can't eat it. It's like a dead entity. Apparently, a person cannot survive under these conditions. So how can we speak about a double back? Says the Gemara Ramani Alei. It's an old question which was posed by Rav Shimi Bar Chiya to who? L'Rav. How could that be? Bar Malini says in surprise, Shimi, you're the great Shimi, asking such a question. We don't mean literally, of course. Elok v'shedrosi akumo, speaking that a kohen doesn't literally have two backs. It means that his back is already crooked and misshapen. It appears like he has two backs. And that is a psul, although he can survive. Continues the Mishnah. Hecharam. Okay, so what's the charam? Which is possible, Ezeu Chorim, HaKoichel Shtein of Kachas. Speaking that he can paint both eyes as one, meaning there's no interruption. Typically, the bridge of the nose gets in the way, but here the bridge is recessed and sunken in. More blemishes that apply to the eyes, Shtein of Lamala, both eyes are higher up than the norm, Shtein of Lamata, or lower than the norm, or one up and one down. Ein Achas Lamala, one is really high, but Ein Achas Lamata, one is really low. Others learn based on the Rambam, even if one is out of place and one is normal. Another example of a defect in the eyes. Let's say the eyes are in the right position, but they're heading in different directions. One is pointing up, one is pointing down. You can see the upper floor and the first floor at the same time. Sachei Shemesh, a fellow who has a hard time in sunlight. Vazagdon. If there's some mismatch in his eye. They don't appear like a pair in terms of color, in terms of... We'll see that in the Gemara. So they're mismatched. But Siron, his eyes are round. The eyelashes have fallen out. Pasolm, it's Marasayin. So this last one here is Marasayin, as opposed to the previous ones, which are possible because of level 2, because it's dissimilar to the other Kayanim. Tanu Rabbanan, what's a charam? Shechayt mei shakua. We're speaking that his nose is recessed. Chayt mei soilet. What if he has an extra short nose? Chayt mei boilam. His nostrils are closed up. Chayt mei noitev. He has an extra long nose, which looks like it's drooping down. Minayin. What about these cases? Tam leim. Oy charam. Includes these. Rabbi Yoimer ein charam al kechel shtein of kaachas. We speak about a recessed nose. It has to be completely recessed so it can actually go from one eye to the other as you're painting it, as you're applying the, eye color. Amar loy, Chacham responded, flakta. That's a bit exaggerated. Avo b'she'en ekech she'en efka'achas, even though he can't do it as one, meaning the bridge isn't totally, totally recessed, but somewhat recessed is enough to be considered a charam and disqualifies. Okay, so again, we referred back to the movement of the behemoth, and we added more to the Adam, because as we explained, by the Adam, we have three categories of disqualifying defects. One is the basic movement, the blatant, obvious movement that applied to behemoth, and some that are unique to Adam as well. We have level 2, which is just because his features are unique and stand out. Einu shava bizar shalarim. That's level 2. Now level 1, the mumin, are mechal lavoida, if he does it. Level 2 is only mitzvah saseh, it's not mechal lavoida. Level 3, which is lacking in proper appearance, it's also the rabbanim shemar asai. We explained why the Torah had to go spell out the, print out the mumin by the Adam and by the behemoth, because you can't really, not really meeting up in the same list, or unique situations by the other men, unique elements by the behemoth, and once the Torah is repeating it, it already goes through pretty much the whole list. We explained why the Torah had to specify that a mum disqualifies a person, a bechor, and a karban, because each one is unique, you can't really learn one from the other. We discussed additional unique features, disqualifying features mentioned in the Braisa. We discussed deficiencies relating to eyebrows, and two, the effect of eyes as well. Okay? Gesundheit, Hatzlacha Rabbah.